There we go. So page 97, we're continuing in our continue book. And for those who are new to it, that this is supposed to be a 14-week class that helps us to grow and develop a good foundation. It teaches some basic principles of the Christian faith, gives a lot of Bible to back it up. And we're just looking at this as a foundational series. And last week we were looking at who is Jesus, and that was week three. Week four we were looking at salvation and baptism, and this week we're going to be looking at prayer. And has everybody been doing well with the daily readings and things and answering questions and stuff? Everybody good with that, or got any questions about it? Everybody's good. Okay. Would you ask a question if you had it?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Of course.
So we are on page 97, and if you look down at the bottom of the page under introduction, it says there are not enough words to describe the wonder and privilege of prayer. Prayer is how we bring our needs to God. It is how we unburden our hearts before Him, and it is one of the ways that we strengthen our relationship with Him. I'll add that I believe it's one of the most neglected parts of the Christian life, that we maybe misunderstood as well in the Christian life. We don't utilize it as we should. It is a mighty tool that we have, and often it ends up being a last resort. There at the top of page 98, prayer is the earliest spiritual exercises you learn, and it is one that you will grow in throughout your entire Christian life. Those of you who have kids have probably been with your kids, and you have taught them little memorized prayers and things just to kind of get them started. You know, you start out with the kids, now I'll lay me down to sleep and stuff like that, teaching them the Lord's Prayer, things like that. And so you start out early with these things, but then you start growing in prayers. If you haven't grown in your prayers at this point beyond now I'll lay me down to sleep and our Father which art in heaven, you might want to pay close attention to this. Okay? And so in this lesson, we're going to look at some of the basic truths regarding how to pray, what to pray for, and how to keep our prayer life strong. Now, like I said, this is basics, and prayer is a basic thing. We're not going to overcomplicate it. And I know there are some out there that would. And prayer is not a complicated thing. So as we say that we're going to look at how to pray, this isn't going to be some big, long formula or anything like that. Okay? And so, first of all, we see here that prayer is an invitation. And so for the child of God, prayer is an invitation to the very throne room of heaven. If we look at Hebrews chapter number 4, we got listed there, verses 15 and 16. It says, "For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And so in that passage of Scripture, we find that Jesus understands that He came down, He lived in a human body, He lived a human life, He went through all of the things that we go through. He had times of trials, of temptations, of loss, of all these other things that we go through. All the struggles that we struggle with, Jesus can understand what they are. Have you ever had someone that during one of your hard times, whenever you were going through a trial or a trouble, they came to you and they said, "Oh, I understand." And you step back and you kind of thought, "You've never been through what I'm going through. You have no clue how I feel." You ever have that happen? You ever been guilty of doing that to other people? That's something that I try to make a mental note of and not to do that. I was out visiting one day and I was talking with a guy, and his wife had just left him, and he was fighting for custody with children, and I was trying to witness to him and everything, and he says, "My life is just such a mess right now." He said, "These things are all going on, and I don't know where to turn, what to do." And so I told him, I said, "To be honest with you, I have no clue what it's like. I have no clue how you feel. I've never went through that, and I hope I never do. I pray for you." And he softened, and he looked at me, and he says, "You know, there's been so many people that's told me, I understand, or I know what it feels like, and they don't have a clue." He says, "Thank you for being honest." And he appreciated it. And that is something, but with Jesus, He does understand. He knows our feelings. He knows our struggles. He knows the things that we go through. And he doesn't just sympathize with us. He can also empathize. He shares in those feelings. And that is a great blessing for us. And so we can come, in that verse it says, let us come boldly. You know, a lot of people are afraid to approach God, afraid to pray. What if I don't say the right things? What if I don't know what to say? What if? And all these fears. But it says that we can come boldly to him, knowing he loves us, he cares for us, he understands. And so we can come boldly to him. We have access to him. He has invited us. And so God invites us to bring our needs and our requests to him in prayer. The next point here, it's prayer is talking to God. That blank is talking. And that's all prayer is. It is simply just speaking to the creator of the universe. Now that sounds simple, doesn't it? The one who created everything, but we have the opportunity that we can speak to him. And so sometimes people worry about what words to say when they pray, but at the most basic level, praying is just simply talking to God. I've heard it illustrated this way, that one of the best ways to pray is just pretend that God's sitting right beside of you and just talk to him, just as you would to anybody else, just as you would to me, or even more so than me, because with me, you might still even hold back. I hope that you don't, but with me, you may even hold back wondering what I think. With God, he already knows everything about you. There's no reason to keep secrets or hide anything from God. You can come to him boldly. You can come to him completely honest and tell him. He's not going to scold you. He's not going to rebuke you because you come to him whenever you're hurt, whenever you're confused, whenever you don't understand. Any of the things that you come through, you can take to him. And he's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to chastise you or treat you harshly because of something that you say to him. You don't have to weigh out your words and be afraid of offending him, because let me tell you this, you won't offend God. You won't offend God. Sometimes we worry that we will. We're not going to offend God. He's not that tender. He's not that, his feelings aren't that fragile. Okay? And so prayer is talking to God. If we look at Jeremiah 33:3, it's actually at the top of page 99. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so he challenges us to call unto him. So we have that opportunity to call out to him, and he says at the end of that verse, and he says, I will answer thee. You ever talk to someone who won't answer you? Won't talk back? It's frustrating. I've got children. Sometimes they do that. And they get in big trouble whenever they do that. I said, I spoke to you. If I speak to you, you better answer. Right? But with God, it says if we call unto him, it says he will answer. I'm not talking about an audible voice from heaven and he looks down. Yes, Peter. No. It's not going to be like that. But he does answer our prayers. Not always when we want him to and how we want him to, but he does answer in the way that is best for us. Okay. Prayer is asking for our needs. Blank there is asking. Amazingly, God cares about every need in our lives and invites us to bring them to him in prayer. This is something that Kevin and I have talked about a little bit from time to time, is that we can take every need to God. Often in our minds, we have this idea that something has to be of so great of importance or so difficult before we actually go to him in prayer. It's like there's a threshold. I can handle everything up until here. It's too petty to take to God. Then after that, then I'll take these things to God. And it's like we evaluate, is this a prayable situation or not? You ever do that? Am I the only one? And I'm like, oh, that's too silly to pray about. God doesn't really care about those things. I should be able to handle that myself. But we can take everything to him in prayer. And so he cares about all of our needs, every one of them. If it is big enough to concern you, it's big enough to pray about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If it's big enough to concern you, if it's big enough that it bothers you whatsoever, it's big enough to pray about. You say, but it's silly. It doesn't matter. If it's big enough to worry you, concern you, to cause you any kind of discomfort, it's big enough to pray about. And so if we look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26... I'll go ahead and back up and read 25, even though it's not written there. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And so it's talking about all the things that we fret and we worry and we are concerned about. And it says that God is concerned about those as well, that he is watching over our needs. If God is willing to look at the grass and the flowers of the field and provide for their needs and to take care of their needs, and for the birds of the air and make sure that they have everything that they need, that they can find enough straw to build their nests and enough worms and bugs to feed their little ones, God takes care of all that, right? And we never think about the birds. If anything, the birds are an irritation to us, but not to God. But whenever it comes to our lives, God can also take care of all of our needs. If he's big enough to provide for every one of the billions of birds out there, can he not also provide for you? And so it shows us that priority as well with God is that he does take care of us, that there is nothing wrong with us asking for our needs. We also see that God hears us. In 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." It says that we can have confidence in him, and that if we ask anything in his will, he hears us. Can you imagine that the God that created everything, that keeps the universe going, that keeps the earth rotating on its axis, that causes the waves to come and the tides to rise and fall, that causes everything to be constantly within perfect proportions and synchronized within this universe, that whenever you call out to him in prayer, he bends down his ear and he listens and he hears us. That's amazing to me. You ever feel insignificant? We all do, don't we? We feel insignificant, we feel unimportant, but yet God listens to us. You ever ignore people? I know I do. You have people just sometimes maybe ignore me whenever I'm teaching and preaching. I don't know. But if you ever ignore people, whenever you just get tired of listening to them and they're just what they're saying is unimportant to you and you just tune them out, God doesn't do that. God doesn't get sick of listening to you. Sometimes I go to God and I just complain. Okay? Just being honest with you. Sometimes I just go to him and I complain. And he's not just like, oh, him again, turning the volume down. But he hears us. God also cares about our troubles. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Do you good if you'd underline that word all right there. Casting all your care upon him. Remember I said there earlier, if it's big enough that it bothers you, if it's big enough that it causes you discomfort, it's big enough to pray about. If it even gives you a moment to pause, it's big enough to pray about. It says casting all your care upon him, no matter how large or how small. Because we're prone to do both, aren't we? We're prone to either saying, I'm not going to pray about this because this is too big, and we shrink God down, right? It's like, oh, there's no way he'd ever answer that prayer. And we kind of make God too small in those times. But then, like I said before, there's the other things that we say, well, I'm not even going to pray about that. That's silly. And so we've got like this in between, this like this is the pray area. Anything above this, nah, too big, not praying about it. Anything below this, nah, too little, not praying about it. But the Bible says all things. Sometimes we lack because our prayers are too small. You know that? Shows our faith. How much you trust God, how much you believe in God, how big your God is by how big you pray. I'm not saying pray in a Mercedes or something like that. I'm meaning in big situations, how you pray. God desires to grant our requests. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I've also got written down here Luke chapter 11. Come to my mind as I was studying over this. Luke chapter 11, starting with verse number 11. It says, If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so, just as parents desire to give their children good things, God is willing to give us good things. Do we think that God's sitting up there waiting to rain down wrath and torment upon us? Do you think he's some kind of narcissist up there that gets some kind of pleasure out of our pain? No. That's not what's going on. But rather that God does delight in granting our requests for our good. Our needs may be physical, financial, emotional, or spiritual. In any and every case, God wants us to bring our needs to him in prayer. All of our needs. Doesn't matter what they are. Doesn't matter if anyone else in this world even knows about them. We can take them to God. And we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about what his response is going to be. We don't have to worry about him laughing in our face. You ever tell someone something that was important to you and they just kind of laughed at it or made light of it? God doesn't do that. Next here we see that prayer is a command. See, God wants to hear from us. Okay? God not only invites us to pray, he tells us to pray. In Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 2 it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In fact, he even assumes that we will pray. Notice how when Jesus instructed his disciples concerning prayer, he said, when ye pray, not if ye pray. There wasn't a question in it. He says, when you pray, say these things. Not if you pray. If you decide to, if you get to the place where you need to. Luke chapter 11 again, verse number 2, it says, and he said unto them, when you pray, our Father, or whenever you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And by the way, whenever he said that, he wasn't giving us a prayer to memorize and repeat without any thought or without it, just completely reciting it by rote. That's not what he was giving this. Many people memorize this, and they think they're praying whenever they recite this. Whenever their heart and their mind is completely disconnected from it, and all they're doing is just repeating words with no meaning. Prayer is not meaningless, okay? Take it, for instance, because prayer is a conversation. It's communication, right? It is because of a relationship that we have with God. And so, Kevin, how well would it do you if the only communication that you had with Katie was that you memorized something from a Hallmark card and recited it to her every day?
Oh, she would love it.
That was the only communication you had with her, is you just recited to her the contents of a Hallmark card or a poem. You wouldn't have much of a relationship, right? Because one thing about it is, you wouldn't mean it. It doesn't come from your heart. It comes from someone else's head. Les was aggravated at me for a long time. And that shouldn't surprise you all. But I never was the type to give cards. Okay? And I always joked around because I would go and I'd read through all the cards and everything. It's just like, none of this is me. This is somebody else's stuff that they came up with. This doesn't describe any of my feelings for my wife. This is somebody else's. It's not personal. And so I told my wife, I said, I don't like buying greeting cards because, I said, whenever I was in school, they said if you signed your name to somebody else's work, that was plagiarism. And so that's what I told her. I'm doing better about buying her greeting cards and things, but that's what greeting cards would be is, you know, you're signing your name like someone else came up with this, they thought of us, they put it down on paper, and I'm going to sign my name to it like it came from me. And they're like, oh, I'm so happy you gave me that. Oh, it's so great. If someone else came up with it, right? And so, yeah, she loves to receive cards, but if that was the only communication we had, our marriage would go down the tubes in a hurry, okay? And so whenever Jesus was giving this model prayer, it wasn't actually the Lord's Prayer, but it was a model prayer, it wasn't telling us, memorize this, recite this, this is our only communication. He's giving an example, and we'll get with this. So how should we pray? At the top of page 100, pray regularly. Pray regularly. How often is it that people only pray whenever they have something big going on in their life? And it's like last resort. It's almost like the spare tire that you keep in the boot of the car. that the only time anyone ever even thinks of that spare tire is whenever one of the other ones go flat, right? I know there's been times that I had a flat tire. I went to my spare in the boot, and it was flat. Wasn't much good, was it?
Not at all.
Unfortunately, if you keep prayer as a spare tire, and you only come to it whenever you are in need, more than likely it's going to be flat when you get there. Just as keeping that little illustration going there. And so prayer is not a spare tire that you keep in your boot. Prayer should be what you rely on regularly. I've heard it said that prayer is not a spare tire, it's a steering wheel. And so that gives you a better idea, a better illustration, I believe. And so the best way to develop a meaningful prayer life is to pray on a regular daily basis. Now, I will say that prayer is probably one of the most unnatural things for us. Okay? And lost people don't understand this, and many of them make fun of it and say, okay, you know, you're just talking to yourself. And so prayer does tend to be an unnatural thing because you're having, in many ways, from the outward appearances, you're having a one-sided conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And with us, it can be kind of, intimidating maybe. Maybe make us feel a little silly at first. Whenever we start getting into the habit, I hate to use that word, by the way, but when we start getting in the habit of praying. And so it does go against this flesh. It takes humility to pray, right? Because in all reality and sincerity, prayer is us humbling ourselves and declaring our dependence on God. Because even in my illustration there a minute ago, using prayer as a spare tire, it is whenever you are unable to do anything else, whenever what you're normally relying on deflates, and you go to God in prayer, is I've reached the end of my abilities. I've reached the end of what I can do, and now I must depend upon you. And like I said, that's not the good way to approach prayer, by the way, leaving it as a last resort. But whenever we approach prayer daily, if we have a true perspective of ourselves and of God, we realize that it's not just whenever the tire goes flat that we need Him. We need Him every day. We need Him always. And that goes back to what I was saying. It's a steering wheel. Try getting in your car and going anywhere without the steering wheel. It doesn't work. I had a truck, the steering wheel would come off of it every now and then. That was fun. I was driving down the road. My pastor was riding shotgun with me. And I felt it start getting loose. And it started wobbling. And it would start wobbling before it came all the way off. And so as I felt it wobbling, I knew it was about to come off, and I just pull on it just a little bit every now and then. And whenever it came loose, I wrenched it over to him, and I said, here, you drive. Yeah, he wasn't impressed. But anyway, you need the steering wheel. And so anyway, we need to develop a regular, meaningful prayer life. It's not just a last resort effort. It's not just whenever all else fails. It's an everyday thing showing that we're dependent and trusting on God for everything. We'll see that more in just a moment as we do look at the model prayer. But in Psalm chapter number 5 and verse 3, it says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. It's often been said that praying first thing of a morning is a good habit to get into. And I'm not one for systemized ritualistic prayers, okay? If there are some people out there, it's like, okay, you've got to pray this way, this time, no, it's not ritualistic. Going back to a relationship once again, if Kev's relationship with Katie, I'll just keep using them, they're good examples. So if his relationship with Katie is ritualistic, they don't have a relationship. If he's going through a checklist every day and making sure he does all the right things to please his wife on that checklist as a robot, no relationship. He wakes up, he gets his checklist out, and he looks over at her and tells her he loves her and good morning. Check that off the list. That would be special, wouldn't it, Katie? No, he'd have to be special to do that. But anyway.
He'll pay big money for that.
There you go. So. But I do find in my own life that it does work out well for me to start in prayer. And I find that a lot of the days where I get busy early and neglect prayer, And later on in the day, I realize that my day just kind of goes off the rails, it seems like. I start struggling with different things, and there's different things going on in my mind. And I look back over my day, I'm like, I forgot to pray. I haven't spent time with the Lord, and it like sets the pace for the rest of the day. And so that works for me. Find out what works for you and do that, okay? And so in Psalm 5:3, it says that my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And so prayer is not something we should run to only in times of emergency. It should be our regular communication with God. Now, the next thing that we see there is pray continually. Pray continually. Now, that doesn't mean as you're walking down the road, as you're going up the biscuit aisle in Tesco, and whenever you're, you know, all the things that you're going through throughout the day, that you're supposed to be saying audible prayers and speaking out in prayer, or even having a prayer in your mind. That's not what it means whenever we're talking about praying continually. Okay? There, as we look in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And we have this idea in our mind that it's going around with a prayer on our lips all the time. But instead, what we mean by pray continually or pray without ceasing is keep an open line of communication with God. Pray throughout the day. Pray whenever trouble hits. Seems like oftentimes we wait until our specific prayer time before we take our cares to God. But what about going to Him whenever that problem actually comes? I know there's been times, and Chris can relate to this one, there's been a lot of times I've been under a car working on a car. That is a frustrating time. Things don't always go as planned. That car hasn't read the manual, okay? And there's been times I would lose something. I'd lose a tool, I'd lose a bolt, something. And I would get frustrated, and it would start bringing my blood pressure up. And you know what I'd do? This sounds silly, right? I'd pray about it. I'd pray, God, you know I need this car. I need this thing fixed. Help me with this. I'm getting frustrated. I turn over. There it sits. Pray about the little things, right?
It's usually the 10 spanner that
goes. Always. It's always the 10. Yeah. Or the 13. You need at least 5 extra of the 10s. So pray continually. So although having a regular established prayer life, our prayer time, is important, we can and should pray at any time and in any place. Anytime. It's not that we've got to draw God's attention away from something. He's like, oh, Chris is calling again. Where is he? Okay, let me get over here. No, God's always listening. You're not going to interrupt Him. He's not going to be busy. And so, anytime. And I find that it's a good habit, because sometimes we have in our minds that prayer has to be some kind of big, long, drawn-out formality. Some of the best prayers that you'll ever pray are the shortest. Think of some of the prayers in the Bible. One of the best prayers I find in the Bible was one of the shortest. You know what it was? Peter was sinking, his head was about to go under, and he said, Lord, save me. Well, like 3 words. That was an effective prayer, wasn't it? And it came from his heart. And it received an immediate answer. And so some of the shortest prayers are often the most effective. And so it's not about long, drawn-out prayers. I remember growing up in the church that I was raised in, and there were some of the guys that would pray in that church. And it was like they would put on a different voice and adopt a new vocabulary every time they went to pray. You ever see that? I was going to imitate it. I'm not even going to try. But they would. They would start using all of these and thous and all of these supposedly theological terms whenever they pray. And it's like, God's like, who is that? So anyway, it's not about that. And so as we pray continually, we go about our day, we struggle with something, we whisper prayer, say, God, help me with this. There's something that goes through my mind, crosses my mind, that shouldn't be there. I'm struggling with it. God, please help me with this. Forgive me for it. Keep on going. God does something for us. There's a blessing that comes along our way. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Driving in West Virginia helped me with this. Because we were talking the other night, and one of the big things that happened in driving in West Virginia around dusk or after dark is you had these crazy kamikaze suicidal deer. You did. I don't know if you had that down in South Africa or in Romania. I don't know if you ever had that problem, but we had deer. And these things were constantly, you'd be driving down the road and all of a sudden you'd just jump right in front of you, like, bah! Right? And so you would have this go on, and every time it would happen, I'd slam on the brakes, everybody's fine, don't tear up my vehicle. Thank you, Lord. You kept us safe. And, you know, we're giving, and we laugh about it. But God watches out for us. He takes care of us. And so I would thank the Lord for things like that. You know, just all throughout the day. And I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just giving normal illustrations here. And there's times that I haven't been that in tune. And there's times that I haven't been so instant in prayer. And so pray continually. In Ephesians 6 and 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying always. Pray with faith. You ever pray a prayer you don't expect to get answered? I think we've all done that from time to time. You pray it, but you do it flippantly, half-heartedly. It's like, this is never going to happen. I love it whenever God proves us wrong on those things. But he doesn't always prove us wrong. He's like, oh, you don't trust me. I'm not going to give it to you. Actually, next week we'll be looking at one of those times in the Bible, by the way. But so pray with faith. Pray knowing that your Heavenly Father wants you to pray. He hears your requests, and he will do what's best for you. He knows a lot more of the circumstances and the situations in our lives. Sometimes we don't pray for what's best for us. There's sometimes that if God would answer our prayers as prayed, it would spell out disaster for us. And thankfully, God isn't of that type where he would just say, okay, you want to pray that way? Let me just show you. I'll give it to you. God's not vindictive. He doesn't do that. And so anyway, as we look here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. All things need to be done by faith. And what is faith, essentially? It's trusting him. Trusting him. Why would you pray to him if you weren't trusting him, right? Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Next we see we pray with the right motives. Have you ever prayed a selfish prayer? Yeah, I know I have. Pray a selfish prayer. You hear people say, I'm going to pray to win the lottery. That's selfish. Okay? I alluded there to a minute ago, praying that God would give me a Mercedes. Selfish prayer. Right? I heard a preacher say one time, he said that he prayed for a bass boat. He wanted a boat to go fish. He liked fishing. And, you know, a nice carnal, selfish prayer. He said, you know what? I never got a bass boat. He said, you know, God could have answered that prayer, right? But he said if he knew that if he'd answered that prayer, then on Sunday he'd be out on his bass boat instead of in church, so he never answered that prayer. So anyway, pray with the right motives. God wants us to bring our personal and family needs to him, but asking for our needs is different than asking with selfish motives. In James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. So there's one principle. You don't get it if you don't ask for it, right? And it says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You're doing it just for selfish reasons, just for your own lusts, to please yourself. And God doesn't answer selfish prayers. Pray according to God's will. God always answers our prayers, but his answers are not always yes. Like a good parent, sometimes our Heavenly Father knows that what we want may not be best for us. Thus, sometimes he does not give us what we ask for, or he does not give it to us right away. Sometimes my kids think that the only answer I ever give is no. They do. They come to me and there's been times they say, well, I never asked because I knew you'd say no anyway. And that's the thing. As parents, we know what's best for our children. We have reasons. We have purposes behind everything that we do, or we usually do. And whenever our kids come to us and they ask, and we tell them no, there's a reason for that. We tell them yes, there's a reason for it as well. And always that answer of yes or no is looking out for their good. We tell them no because it's going to bring bad consequences oftentimes. It's not going to be good for them. And so we tell them no. They get bummed. They're upset because we said no. But yet they can't see the consequences. Well, Les was telling me yesterday that her and the girls were watching a TV show. And the TV show, it was one of these ones that Les had watched when she was growing up. And it was one of the ones that teach you kind of a moral of the story at the end of it, okay? And in it, the kid was wanting to go and do something. And the parents said no. And so he snuck out and did it anyway. And he experienced the consequences. And he realized why his parents told him no. And it was a conversation that we had had with our kids many times with the very same thing that was going on in the movie. Why can't we do this? It's not good for you. They didn't understand it. But in watching the movie, all of a sudden, one of my kids was like, the light clicked on. They're like, that makes sense. When they seen it illustrated. You know, there's been times, and I'm kind of sarcastic, but there's been times with my girls, I'm like, you want me to draw a picture? Because they just weren't understanding. But with this one, they actually do need a picture. And they saw the picture, like, now it makes sense. The words didn't get through my head, but the picture did. Okay? And so with God, it's the same way. I'm getting sidetracked here. With God, it's the same way, is that sometimes we pray for things that are going to harm us. Mm-hmm. That's going to cause us problems. And God says no. He doesn't answer that prayer. Or he answers it, but he answers it no. Good morning. And so in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so there's that little disclaimer there, according to his will. And so if we think that God is our genie that we can go to with all of these requests and somehow we can strong arm him into answering them, or we can try to force him to answer them, that's not the way God works. That's not who God is. We got to realize who we're approaching here. And so we're not going to be able to strong arm him. We're not going to be able to manipulate God into answering our selfish prayers, but that God is answering them according to his will and for our good. And so if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, in fainting, it means basically just giving up, wearing out, growing weary, and quitting. You ever get there? And there's been prayers that I've prayed, and I've prayed them for long periods of time, and it seemed like there was no answer. And it's tempting to quit, to faint in those prayers. The loved ones I've prayed for that needed the Lord, and it seemed like nothing was ever going to happen, and you're tempted to quit. But there's been times that I've continued praying, and I've seen them answered. See, the thing was, God was waiting until his timing, not mine. We want it immediate. We want it right then. We want it instant. But God sees the full picture. Mm-hmm. He knows all things. And he works it according to his timetable. Pray in Jesus' name is the last blank there on that page. Pray in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name is praying by his will and authority. There are those, I believe, that have this idea that if you pray a prayer and you tag on the end of it, in Jesus' name, that it's like a magic word that God has to answer it. And there are those that's like, it's not a prayer unless you say Jesus' name. You ever hear that? There was a preacher I heard talking one time, and he said that he prayed one time, and he ended his prayer with amen, never said Jesus' name. And somebody came up to him afterward and was kind of critical of him. He says, whenever you prayed, you didn't say in Jesus' name. And he's like, so? He said, well, how do we know who you're talking to unless you say it? Well, that's dumb. It's not some magic word that we throw in there. Whenever it talks about praying in Jesus' name, the biblical principle that we find behind that is whenever you're addressing according to someone's name, when you're going in someone's name, you're going with their authority. Going in their stead, in a means of putting it. Okay? And so with that, you're going to be praying according to their will as well. Take it this way. If I was to go and have no authority whatsoever, but I was going on behalf of someone else who did. Okay? I'm looking for an example here of who I could use, okay? Not in this room, but who I can use. I'll use my children for an example here, okay? They're a good example. If I send one of my children to go to their sister, I tell Emily, go and tell Lydia and Sarah to get the room cleaned up. It's time to go to bed. Emily goes upstairs, and she tells Lydia and Sarah, get the room cleaned up. It's time for bed. We're not listening to you. You have no authority, right? The sisters aren't going to pay any attention. However, whenever they go upstairs, or when Emily goes upstairs and she talks to them, and she says, Dad said, get the room cleaned up. It's time for bed. Different story, right? She's going on my authority. However, what if she goes and tags my name to something that I would not sign off on? That's different, isn't it? Your kids ever try to put words in your mouth? Doesn't turn out well for them. But I wonder how many times we put words in God's mouth. How many times we pray in Jesus' name when it has nothing to do with Jesus' will or what he would do. It's the same thing. Whenever we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying for things that he would sign off on. It's like we're presenting him before Jesus, and he's like, yeah, I can sign off on that. I approve of that. Other times we present it to him, and he's like, what? Where did they get that at? Right? And so that's what we're looking at with praying in Jesus' name. Top of page 102 says, John chapter 14 and verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We pray things according to God's will, according to Christ's will, and it brings him glory. Now the next blank we have here, pray with other Christians. Pray with other Christians. The early church prayed together, and prayer with other Christians has been a way of strengthening our faith and our boldness. We look in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So many of them gathered together, all of them praying together. It says in one accord, they were all together in unity. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They are praying together. We also pray privately. In addition to corporate prayer, every Christian should daily have a time of private prayer. Praying daily. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. There we see a bad motive, don't we? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer is not a ritual to be seen of men. Even when we pray corporately, whenever, if I call on someone to pray or if I pray here, it's not to be seen of men. It's not so that you can say, oh, look what an eloquent prayer they are. Look what a great, whatever. I'm not even going to continue down that one. Because just like the example I was using, whenever the people that I'd heard pray changed their voice and changed their vocabulary whenever they prayed, what are they doing? They're becoming as the hypocrites. They are making great long prayers to be seen of men. Either that or they have the wrong idea of God, that they have to come to him with some kind of a facade. One or the other. And so, whenever we pray to God, it's not to be seen of men. It's not to be some kind of a great ritual. We come to him humbly. We can come boldly, but we come humbly as well. And I like this as well. It says, pray to thy Father. It's personal. It's relational, right? We can come to him as a father. Think about how your kids come to you. Those of you who have kids. Think about how they come to you and they ask things of you. As a parent and a child. That's how we come to God. He's our Father, right? those who don't have kids, think about whenever you go to your parents, right? And you'd ask of them. It's the same thing. We go to them, go to God as a parent. Pray earnestly. The opportunity and privilege of prayer is not something to be taken lightly. We don't pray simply as a religious exercise. We pray as one who is presenting their requests to God. It's not to be a flippant thing. It's not to be approached without thought. It's not something that we just go through the motions on. Okay? But it's something to be taken serious. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Whenever it says it availeth much, it accomplishes much. That's another word for availeth. And so whenever we talk about effectual and fervent, that means that we're doing it with thought, with heart, that we are actually putting a little bit of effort into it rather than just flippantly reciting something. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, it says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask of him." And so he gives them a challenge here. He says, don't be like the heathen. Don't be like the pagans, the lost people, that use vain repetition. Well, we know what vain is, right? Meaningless, right? Don't use vain repetition. Repetition, just continually repeating the same things over. You could almost picture like a chant. And so you continually keep saying the same thing over and over and over again without any thought, without any meaning, without any purpose behind it. Just saying it, thinking that God's going to hear you and respect your prayers. Whether it be something that's memorized and recited without thought. Just continually repeating it. And you're thinking that God's going to be proud of you because of what a great prayer you are. No, that's not the way it goes. So pray with a plan. Pray with a plan. Remember we were talking about engaging our mind in this, right? And actually putting thought into it, not being flippant in our prayer life. So pray with a plan. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, he gave them a model for what to pray about. And so what we see here in these verses is not given to us that we may repeat them every day as our prayer, like we looked at earlier, but they are given so that we know what to pray for. Okay? And so if we look in Matthew chapter 6 again, verses 9 through 13, it says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And many people have memorized this. Even in the Catholic religion, they call this the Our Father. And it is a prayer that's recited, okay? But he says to them, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." His disciples come to him and said, "Teach us to pray." They had been observing Jesus for a good while. And the thing that stood out of everything that Jesus did, his prayer life was what captivated them. They looked at Jesus, his ministry, his preaching, his healings, all the things that he did. But the thing that most impressed them was his prayer life. They didn't say, "Jesus, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to cast out demons. Teach us how to speak in tongues. Teach us how to do all these other things." They said, "Teach us how to pray." And so Jesus begins with this model, this sample here. And as we continue on page 103, "Our Father which art in heaven." They're addressing him as Father. "Pray in confidence of your relationship with the Father. Hallowed be thy name." By the way, going back up to it, whenever he says "Our Father," that was unheard of to a Jew. They didn't approach God as Father. They seen him as Jehovah, as someone far removed, someone far away from them, someone who was not close and not relatable. And Jesus introduces them to praying to God as our Father. He said it's a relationship. It is close. It is personal. That would have been a new concept for his disciples. And he says, hallowed be thy name. It is a form of worship. It's giving him praise. It's giving him glory. And in our prayers, there should be that worship, that praise of him. You ever stand in awe of him? Just sit back and look at how great God is, and that he would take the time to hear you, that he would care enough to interact with you and do something in your life. That should bring us to a place of praise, right? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We pray wanting God's kingdom to be advanced. We see the right motive. We want to see people saved. We want to see people growing. We want to see his plan and his, like it says here, his kingdom being advanced. That's a good motive. All things for his glory. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray with submission to God's will. Oftentimes our prayer is, my will be done, right? We come to him in submission. Thy will be done. Oftentimes I make requests to God, and at the end of it I say, this is my preference. This is what I want. But you know what's best. Amen. Whatever your will is in this situation.
What did you say? Thy kingdom come?
Thy kingdom come, wanting God's kingdom to be advanced. We see a right motive in that. Give us this day our daily bread. So we ask God to meet our needs and the needs of others. I don't know that many of us have to pray for our daily bread, do we? We kind of take it for granted. We are in a prosperous place. Many of us haven't had to think so much about where food comes from. And if you ever have to, God cares. We can pray about that as well. But it shows also relying on him for even the smallest of things. Whenever we often don't even think of it, he's already provided it. And we just take it for granted, don't we? We say, well, I've got this. Well, he's given you the talents, the abilities, and the health in order to make the paycheck that pays for the bread. And so he still provided for us, and we still don't give him the glory. And so give us this day our daily bread. We can ask him to meet our needs. We ask him to meet the needs of others. And so this is where we come to him in supplication. And so oftentimes I'm guilty of this, by the way. I'll just be transparent. I don't know if it's my raising, my culture, or what it is. I don't like to be a burden or inconvenience to anyone. I don't like to ask anything of anyone. And it's how I was raised, I guess. And it is so difficult for me to ask for help. It is. Just being honest. And so I try to do everything myself, and it'll lead to burnout if I'm not careful. I've got to be careful in these things. But it's part of who I am, and I've got to keep that in check because I never want to be a burden to people. I've actually had relationships that soured because I did not want to be a burden. I wouldn't ask for help. I wouldn't confide. I wouldn't, because I tried to bear it all myself. But with God, we can take everything to him. We're not going to inconvenience God. God is big enough to handle it.
Amen.
It's not going to be like, oh, I'm troubling him again. We're not troubling God. Because, I mean, who is your God? If you think that your problems are big enough to cause him trouble, how big is your God? Your problems are not going to trouble him. So ask him to meet your needs. Ask him to meet the needs of others. We see here also, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We don't harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts. You ever try to pray when you're mad at someone? Doesn't work. And so we need to take knowledge of how much we've been forgiven and how gracious God has been toward us and be that gracious toward others. My pastor preached a message one time, and the title of his message was, I Hate Grace. Kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? And in that message, he talked about how we've been extended so great a grace by God and how good God's been to us. But then whenever we see God blessing and promoting someone else, or we see God working in someone else's life, we get angry toward that person because maybe of some hard feelings or some bitterness or some resentment that we have toward them. And that we want forgiveness from God. We want his grace when it falls on us. But we get upset about his grace when it goes on others that we feel is unworthy. Since when were we ever worthy, right? And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. This is offensive to some people. They look at this and see this, lead us lead us not into temptation, as if God is the one that's leading you into sin. They've actually removed it from the Our Father within the Catholic Church. This is something they've done recently. They've rewritten scriptures because they offended them. Okay? Sorry, I don't mean to pick on them all the time. It's just they're right there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask God to help us to overcome those temptations. God's not going to lead you into a temptation. He's not going to entice you. He's not going to dangle the bait in front of you just seeing if you'll take it. That's not what God does. It's not what it's talking about. I heard a preacher say one time, and I like this, and I prayed it many times. I stole somebody else's prayer. You ever do that? But anyway, he said, this is one thing that he often prayed. He said, help me to stay away from sin and lead me around the things that I'm too ignorant to see myself. Because there's a lot of things that we look at, and I misquoted that slightly, but it's okay. But the thing is, there's a lot of things that we see and we're aware of and we're tempted by, but we take notice of them and we can resist those. Mm-hmm. But has there ever been things that caught you off guard and you just stumbled in the middle of them? Mm-hmm. And so he said, lead me around the things that I'm too ignorant to see myself. Yeah. And it's very much the same thought in this mm-hmm. passage. It says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we pray with a heart for God's glory to be advanced. We see what the grand purpose and everything is, that it's not about me. Yes, I'm praying for my needs. I'm praying for God to work in my life, but it's not about me. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's about Him. And so they give us here an acrostic for the word acts to kind of be a guide in prayer time. Like I said, I'm not for rituals, I'm not for rules in prayer. So this isn't like a rule to institute, I got to pray this way. No. Okay, that's, don't ever even think of that. Because it is a relationship, it's personal. Go back to the whole greeting card thing I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. So A stands for adoration. Praise God for who He is. Tell Him how thankful you are for His goodness to you, His holiness, etc. C stands for confession. Ask God to bring to mind your sins that you've not already confessed to Him and ask Him to forgive you. T stands for thanksgiving. Thank God for recent blessings and answers to a prayer that He has given. And S stands for supplication. We bring our requests before God, praying for our needs as well as the needs of others. And so as you begin to pray, spending regular time in prayer, you will find that your prayer life will grow. It's amazing how you begin and you're struggling to pray for a minute or two. Next thing you know, you've been praying, it's been 20 minutes, and it seems like you just started, right? And your prayer life grows in time. Because the more you talk to Him, the more you want to talk to Him. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is not simply a method of transaction for asking and getting. It is part of our needful communication with God. Because communication is part of a relationship. Communication is part of a relationship. If you do not communicate with someone, you will not have a relationship with them. Pure and simple. It doesn't matter who it is. You cut communication, you kill a relationship every time. And so it is vital that we keep that relationship right. Top of page 105, it says, beware of hindrances to prayer. Beware of hindrances. There are things that hinder our prayers, just the same as with any other relationship, there are things that cause a hindrance. Anyone who's married, anyone who has children, anyone who has any kind of relationship has had times whenever those relationships were hindered. And you can point to those times. And so the Bible tells us specific ways that our prayers become hindered. First one here is unconfessed sin hinders our prayers. Unconfessed sin hinders our prayers. Psalm 66 and 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's that sinful attitude, that iniquity. The Lord won't hear me. Same thing goes if, using my children as an example, if they are acting like little heathens, it's not going to do them very good to come to me with petitions, to ask things of me whenever they're acting like the devil's spawn. It's not going to work. Okay? And likewise, whenever they're acting in that way, our relationship is strained. Mm. We don't have that fellowship. Mm. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So that sin hinders the relationship. Unforgiveness also hinders our prayers. Unforgiveness in Mark 11, 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." That goes back to what I was saying about my pastor's message with "I Hate Grace." How often is it that we are expecting God to forgive us when we won't forgive others? Now, God's more gracious than what we are, but it's rather hypocritical, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." By the way, that's good marriage advice there. I've always said in interpreting this passage, dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, if you know it bugs them, don't do it. You go a long ways with them. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." When you're spatting with your spouse, it's hard to pray. Right? One of the closest relationships you have. And if you're not getting along with them, you're going to have a hard time praying. Also, it's hindered whenever we disregard God's word. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Whenever your attitude is, "I don't care what God says, I'm doing what I want to do," what good is it going to do you to pray? It's going to hinder your prayer. Now, the last thing that we see at the top of page 106, we're just almost done. We restore fellowship through prayer. We've looked at things that hinder our prayers, but how do we get it right whenever our prayers hinder? Whenever it seems like the phone lines have been cut, how do we get it right? Once again, it's through prayer. When we realize we have a hindrance in prayer in our lives, we remove it through prayer. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He forgives us, he cleanses us. We simply confess our sin to the Lord and ask him to forgive us. And thankfully, God is faithful to always forgive us when we do. And so in application, there's a great privilege that God has given us through prayer. And one of the most important steps in your Christian life is to begin praying on a regular basis. You will find that prayer is both a relief, which allows you to unburden your heart to the Lord, and a blessing as you see God answer your prayers. Not only that, but prayer also keeps our mind focused on Him, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Each day, we start the day, if that's what works for you, start the day thinking of Him. Get you on the right foot. And so there are two vital steps that you can take to begin developing a meaningful prayer life. The first one, plan a regular prayer time. And I will say also, there'll be many things that try to get in your way of that prayer time, many things that try to distract you from it. Guard it as your most important appointment. You're taking and spending time with the God of the universe. I mean, if you were to have an appointment with one of the most important men of the nation here, you would make sure you made it there, right? God's much more important than any man in the nation. And so, to pray with consistency requires a plan. Set aside a time of the day like you would for important appointments. When you can pray for specific requests to the Lord, begin with a small amount of time, perhaps 5 or 10 minutes, and increase it as you find your need to pray increasing. I will also add, don't play the comparison game. Don't make your prayer life a competition or think that you have to pray like someone else or as much as somebody else or according to this book or that book or an author or a preacher or anybody else. It's not about that. It is about a relationship with God, and it is personal. Another good suggestion is to begin a prayer list. Best way to remember the important requests in your life and the lives of those you love is to write down a list of whom and what you're praying for. This can be as simple as a handwritten list in a notebook, or it can be typed up in an electronic program on your cell phone or something. There's even prayer apps never tried one, have no idea about it, but I know they exist. In whatever way you create your list, be sure to leave room by each request to record when and how God answers prayer, because He does answer prayer. Mm-hmm. And so with that, prayer is important. Mm-hmm. Prayer should be a daily part of our lives. Mm-hmm. It should be our first resort, not our last one. And so with that, does anyone have any questions or comments or anything to add? I know we went a little over, but we started a little late too, so that's okay. We'll still take coffee break. Right. Yeah, I understand that.
So how do you, is there a particular way that you
The best guide that I'll give you is a sincere heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer for that would be is a sincere heart. If you're trying to do it according to selfish motives or any of those things, then yeah, it's not going to be God's will. But if you are sincerely seeking after God and you want what's best, you might miss it occasionally. It might not be what He wants. That's not what He's going to rebuke you for. That's not what He's after. But whenever we have a sincere heart and we are truly seeking, we want what God wants, then pray freely. And don't fret, don't fear, and don't worry about offending God by praying something wrong. What if I said something wrong? What if that's not actually His will? No. With a sincere heart, honestly desiring God's will, pray freely and tell Him your will. There's nothing wrong with telling Him your will. Nothing wrong with telling Him your will. Say, God, this is what I like, but I'm open for your will. Whatever you want. And that's the attitude. That's the heart behind it. Yeah, so it's not a thing of fear of, oh, okay, well, I'm just not going to pray because I don't know that I know God's will. No, you don't.
You see, that is what was emphasized before. Very much like, oh, you mm-hmm. can't pray for certain things because it's not God's will. And mm-hmm. you're like, okay, you know, it has to be according to His will. You know, you're like, but then people get afraid to pray because
mm-hmm.
they don't really know, is it or is it not?
Well, and I believe the emphasis on that is not what you pray, but in what God answers. And so we have the knowledge ahead of time that God answers according to His will.
Yeah.
We have to pray according to ours.
Yeah.
He answers according to His. Mm-hmm. And so in that, we don't get upset with God because He doesn't answer it according to our will. He answers it according to His own.
Exactly.
And so the question there isn't, okay, I've got to study and I've got to make sure that I know what God's will is before I pray about this.
Yeah.
But I pray with my will, with the understanding that God will answer it according to His.
Yeah. That makes it clearer, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's good. So I also had people that came up to me and said, oh, you know, God says whatever we ask in His name, you know, and they just, and you're like, and I said to them, no, you got to tell them to me.
Makes God their genie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so that's where according to His will comes out is you ask anything in His name,
yeah.
according to His will, He's going to answer it. And so you pray selfish prayers? No, God's not going to answer that. Okay. Good. Anything else? Well, let's pray and take a short break then. Dear Lord, we come to You once again today. Thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we do thank You so much for this day. Thank You for this time and Your word. And we do thank You so much that we have the ability to come to You in prayer, Lord, and that You always hear us. That You always listen, Lord, and that You always answer, Lord, according to Your will. And Lord, we just pray, ask You, Lord, that You meet with us here today, that You would guide and direct the services, Lord, and that our focus and our attention would be upon You, and that You would get the glory. Lord, I just pray, ask You, Lord, be with our time and fellowship together as well. Lord, we do enjoy Your church family. I thank You for each one here. And Lord, we just ask You, Lord, that You would just guide and direct us, Lord. We thank You so much for all You do. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.
Amen.